Great. So this is a prayer Sunday. We have them once a month. And we said a month ago that we were going to have 3 months of looking at forgiveness. So we looked at that last month. We're going to look at it again today and again in December, just so that you've got plenty of time to consider it. And we... Just a quick summary of it. We looked last time at keeping it in the day with the idea of making it a lifestyle of forgiveness, our lives, so that when things happen, that we just run to forgiveness. We become people that will forgive quickly and easily. And the second thing was to forgive and not just ignore things. Because when we're wronged, when somebody wrongs us, there needs to be a spiritual transaction that happens in the heavenlies. We can't just ignore it and put it away. Something actually needs to happen. That sin needs to be paid for. And it has been paid for, as we know, because Jesus went to the cross and died for all our sins. So we enter into that, what Jesus has done for us, by forgiving. So just burying it under 10 tons of concrete, or pretending that it doesn't matter, or thinking, oh, well, that's because they're in this situation, so I'll just sort of, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Those are, you know, worthwhile sort of ideas, but they're not forgiveness. And so running to forgiveness, really calling sin and forgiving them, letting that go to the cross, is what we're called to live like. And it frees us. And that was the important thing as well, was just that we don't... it seems unfair that we should have to forgive when we've been wronged, but it sets us free when we forgive.
I'm just going to go to some scriptures, but we're going to hand these out so that if you'd like to just, I don't know, take a wodge. So these are kind of notes, but also to be kind of taken away. It's basically a summary of everything. It's not notes from what we're speaking on. It's just the general topic of forgiveness and how we can do this. So we're going to look at, if you just have your sheets, and then every now and again I'll say refer to it. But the point of giving everyone a sheet is that actually it takes you, it's kind of the complete overview of it and how to forgive. A lot of us don't know how to forgive someone. We think we do, but we don't. And so we don't go the full way, so we don't get the benefit of really forgiving. And that's why we're looking at this. Why do I say that? It's because if you keep a record of wrongs, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says love keeps no record of wrongs. If we're in a position where we keep a record of wrongs, we haven't really understood the power of forgiveness. The point of forgiveness is that so we're free from keeping a record of wrongs. Colossians 3 verse 13. It says we are to make allowances for people and to forgive. Remember, because the Lord forgave us. So in my marriage, I need to make an allowance for the fact that even though Annie might have said sorry for something that she's done, it's very likely she'll do it again. Now, am I taking scripture seriously and making an allowance for the fact that she will do it again? Because if I do, then I remain free. If I don't take that scripture seriously, then if she does it again, I'm angry again. So my heart condition needs to be make allowance, because that's what it says. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, Because if you do, you give the devil a foothold. So if we're angry today about something, let's sort it today, because it'll still be there tomorrow. The Lord has given us all the scriptures we need to be a people who forgive. And the reason why we're looking at this is that we then got a nation and a community outside who also need to learn how to forgive and be free. Matthew 18, I've just kind of quickly done the passages we read last time. We said we're going to be in these three scriptures or four scriptures over these three months, these three teachings. One was 1 Corinthians 13:5. One was Colossians 3, verse 13. One was Ephesians 4, verse 26, 27. And the last one was Matthew 18, which is the story of the unforgiving servant. Okay. So if you're listening for the first time, those are the key scriptures. Okay. If this is your second time, and just reminding of the one that we encouraged everyone to meditate on as we forgive. And the other thing about from last time, just remember, if you were here, we had the cross here and people came up, and the poo bag is where people put the names of the people who they were either forgiving, or you put the name of the person in there who you wanted to forgive. So that's just a little recap from last time. So I'm going to read out now on these sheets. Has everyone got one of these sheets? I'm going to just read this out and just let this top paragraph where it says lifestyle of forgiveness, just let it impact our hearts. Forgiveness takes back the ground that is lost to the enemy through the sin of offense, and it restores us to God and others. Forgiveness is essential currency in the kingdom of God. It is foundational in our salvation and God's grace towards us. God simply commands us to forgive others just as he has forgiven us. That's the Colossians 3 verse 13 verse. God simply commands us to forgive others. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. Just as he's forgiven us. Jesus makes it absolutely clear that forgiveness is a non-negotiable for his followers. If you're not a follower of Jesus here, you don't have to forgive. I advise you to, but you don't have to. But if you are, a key thing in your life on a daily basis is to forgive. Many times a day, probably. To make allowances. Many times a day. Not to keep a record of the wrong that the person in your business or your house or your family or the shopkeeper, if they looked, or someone who looked at you in a way and you got offended by it, you got to forgive them. And forgive them quickly. We are to rid ourselves of all bitterness and anger, because it becomes toxic, topos in our lives. Becomes toxic. Anger is often an emotional signal of unforgiveness buried in our hearts. I have lived with anger, it's so much better now, but for many, many years, I have lived with a simmering anger, and I didn't get this teaching. But I'm nothing like that now. I can still flare up. But predominantly I'm peaceful. If you want the fruit of the Spirit of peace, and you feel actually fundamentally I'm angry, and it's just brewing under there, and it doesn't take much to just flare me up, that is a signal that you haven't forgiven. It is. There's no two ways about this. Yes. What was I angry about? Should we go out for a coffee and I'll tell you all the things? I could have been angry from a point of someone driving down the road the opposite way and me feeling like, well, you know, why don't you stop? Why should I have to? Particularly in York Gardens, And when I start your gardens, when you're coming down there, if you start the bottom bit, I think there should be an unwritten rule that if you've started going uphill, it's your right of way. That's, it is. But what happens if the guy, particularly taxi drivers, sorry to you taxi drivers, so it could be something as small as that, as something as big as someone who's never, I was furious with people who I thought were authority figures and they didn't appreciate me. I wanted people to know, I remember a vicar thinking, why don't you look after me? I was angry with him. I was angry once with the crisp packets on the floor. Well, I wasn't angry with the crisp packets. I was angry because my children had left crisp packets on the floor on a Sunday night. And I came into the room and I was actually angry probably about something that happened in here that day. But at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock when Annie had popped out, I took my anger from somewhere else and I poured it out and my children were the ones who suffered. And I turned the TV off and I was angry with EastEnders for what they were doing on the TV. I was angry everywhere. Anger is often an emotional sign of unforgiveness buried in our hearts. Extending forgiveness is a transaction of the will and the mind. As we walk out lives full of simple and genuine forgiveness, God deepens his work in our lives and the emotions and the feelings follow. The peace, the joy, all those fruits of the Spirit follow. Because they become the dominant thing in your life. The dominant, presiding, life-giving thing. Peace and joy become the thing. They replace anger, for example, for me.
So I'm just going to tell you a little story, an example from my life on this. I'll tell you the story. I've changed the name because I don't want you to know who it is, if that's all right. So I met Caroline when we first came to Bristol 25 years ago. We had children around the same time, and our two families became great friends, and we did lots together. We were very, very close two families. And as time went on, we discovered that that Caroline's husband was having an affair. And everything in us wanted to pour into them and their marriage. And we were there. We were trying to do everything that we could to help them stay together so that they could stay together as a family. And it was horrendous in lots of ways. They were unable to stay together for all sorts of reasons, which we don't need to go into. And when that happened, when they split up, Caroline felt that she needed to sort of cut ties with the life that they'd had before, which is totally understandable. So the children left the school and went somewhere else, and she left me, basically. And that's what it felt like. Now, I could totally understand it from her point of view. It made complete sense. It was just agony and painful for her. But for me, I felt, wounded. I felt rejected. I felt, all the things that you would feel. So I tried to be really understanding. I tried that, and I tried to be very accepting of the situation. And, of course, it made sense. Logically, in my head, I could totally go with it. But every time I bumped into her, I felt this huge surge of emotion. It was just, a mixture of deeply upset, angry, as that's what we're kind of talking about. I felt angry. I felt it wasn't fair, all these things. And it was horrible. And I knew I wasn't peaceful. And then I read that verse about how unforgiveness becomes a root of bitterness in our lives, and I could feel this root of bitterness growing in me, and I knew that I was waiting for her to come and put things right, to come and say sorry, to say let's be friends again, let's get our kids back together again, let's carry on as life that was before. And so I was waiting for that, and that's what I, when every time I prayed about it, that's what I prayed for, that that would happen, that she would, you know, put, she would come and put things right. And, but I realized that this bitterness was growing in me, and so I concluded, because of what the scripture says, that it must be unforgiveness. And so I was thinking, well, I have forgiven her. I understand what's going on. I totally get why she's doing this. And I've forgiven her. And then we came across this idea of cancelling the debt. And I know we talk about it a lot, but I'm just going to talk about it again. I hadn't really grasped it at this point. I thought, I'd forgiven her. I was understanding. But what I hadn't done was I hadn't said in prayer to God, I'm no longer going to expect her to come back to me with what she owes me, which was friendship, which was fun with our kids, holidays, all the things that we did before. I hadn't realized that I needed to let her off and cancel the debt that she owed me, and that would be the thing that would forgive, that would set me free. And that was exactly what happened. And when I understood that, I prayed and I said, Lord, well, we're going to do a demo, aren't we? I said, I'm not going to expect anything from her anymore. I'm going to let her off completely. And I felt the peace come and the anger go. And I hadn't realized that was the key. So it was not just saying, I forgive you, but it really was choosing not to expect what she owed me to come back to me. So we're going to do a little demo, aren't we?
I was just thinking as we prepare for our demo that actually Jesus forgave us once and for all. But he forgave us, and we often say, I'm sorry, Jesus. And then we go and do exactly the same thing again. And the awesome thing about Jesus Christ is he actually forgives us totally. But the reason why he says, forgive, because if you don't, your Heavenly Father won't, is actually a serious thing for us to consider. So, here's the chair. Which way should we do it? Should we do it like that, babe? Yeah. You'll see on the back of your sheets, there's a chair. And the reason why we're doing this now is we're demonstrating it so that everyone can do this now. You'll be able to do it. We're just going to model how it goes. Here we go.
So, I'm going to put Caroline in the chair. Now, I have already done this, so it won't be. It's not like I'm just forgiving her now. I have done it before, so I'm going to show you what I did when I prayed, because I think there's nothing like just sort of witnessing it. We don't often get to witness each other forgiving people, so we just thought it'd be helpful. So what we do is we in effect put the person in the chair. So she's not there. She never will be. She'll never hear from me the things that I want to say, that I have said in my prayer, but it's as if she's there. And I'm going to speak to her as if she was there to say the things that that I want to forgive her for. Okay? So I'm going to look at you. So the first step is to acknowledge what she's done. So I would say something like, Caroline, when you decided that you didn't want me in your life anymore and you didn't want our children to be as close as they were before, that really hurt me, and I felt rejected, and I felt unwanted, and as if all those years before were nothing to you, and it was deeply painful. And that was your sin. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have hurt me. You shouldn't have rejected me. It wasn't what God wanted. And so today I choose to cancel the debt that you owe me and to forgive you for that. I choose to let you off completely. I forgive you. I forgive you for hurting me. I forgive you for making those decisions. I forgive you for hurting my children. I forgive you for spoiling what we had. and I completely let you off. I bless you, Caroline, to know the joy and the peace of that Jesus offers again. I bless you to know the fullness of his love for you, and without guilt, without shame. I bless you in your family and all your relationships. And today I choose, Caroline, not to expect anything back from you. I choose to let you off completely. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe me the friendship. You don't owe me an apology. You don't owe me an explanation. I let you off completely. And today, Lord, I also want to say sorry for my own anger and bitterness and my own unforgiveness. And I say, Lord, that I'm so sorry for that. I'm sorry for harboring that unforgiveness and that bitterness and expressing it in anger. And I ask that you would forgive me. And I thank you that you do. I receive your forgiveness completely today. And I say to the spirit of anger and bitterness, go to the feet of Jesus now. I don't want you in my life. I don't need you. You're to get out now and go to Jesus' feet, where he will crush you. And I receive your Holy Spirit and ask Lord, that you would fill me, that you would wash over me. And I receive peace now. I receive all that you have for me now in Jesus' name. I declare that I will walk in peace. I will walk in grace. I will walk in love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I didn't really give Cyrus a chance to get a word in there. But the four steps of it, do you want to do it? No. Were acknowledging the sin against me, calling it what it is. It's that person's sin. So you're just making a statement. We're not blaming or anything like that. We're just saying it is that person's sin, and then forgiving them, letting them off, blessing them, and then repenting of my own anger and bitterness that I was my sin reaction to hers. That's it.
Well, in a minute, we're going to have a chance to do it. So, let's just look at those three verses I said at the beginning. You don't have to look at a piece of paper. Forgiveness sets us free. The purpose of forgiveness is to set free the person who feels all the anger. It sets us free. Until Annie chose to forgive Caroline, taking those scriptures, she was keeping a record of wrongs. The sun went down on her anger, and she wasn't making any allowances for Caroline's position. Because Caroline's position wasn't easy. Those are three scriptures that Annie, by not forgiving, was actually violating. When she chose to forgive, cancel the debt, and if you want a script, you've got a pen, Romans 12, verse 17 to 21 speaks about this, about God saying, it's not yours to take a vengeance. Leave it to me. I'll sort it out. When she chose to cancel the debt, she was able to, in her heart, make allowances. She no longer had a record of wrongs, and she could sleep well. And when she then saw Caroline, her heart was peaceful. Okay, so we've got a few minutes. Yeah.
Do we need to be careful in this process in labelling something as a sin? Because we are, in one respect, passing judgment in doing that. We're not kind of the ultimate judge. Because sometimes we can be hurt. It doesn't necessarily mean that a sin's taken place. And we need to exercise a bit of something, wisdom.
It's a good question. That sort of question's been raised before. It might be easier for you to say the debt you owe me, to use the word debt rather than sin is a very is a strong word. But in one sense, some of you might the danger of not really naming it as something that's actually wrong is that you let someone off. This happens particularly if someone has been abused or something. They can often not really name the thing that was actually really wrong. Okay, so it's a good point, Dave. I think it for different people, you might find it. The whole purpose of this is when you pray and this sort of thing, probably use the words that are most comfortable to you. If that makes sense. There are some people who say, well, that was actually a sin. And often it's helpful. If you're helping someone else to forgive someone, it's very good for the person who's helping them to say, actually, that was wrong. That is a sin. But if the person prefers to say, well, I just, you know, I mean, I kind of go with what you're saying, Dave. The choice of the words is important. But Jesus does tell the story about the unforgiving servant and the debtor, cancelling debts. Those are scriptural words. Okay. But the key thing is, sin is, it's so easy to let someone off something and not really go there. And that would just be the caution. Okay. I'm aware that topics like this bring up lots of questions, so that's the whole purpose of us being in this for 3 months, because we can work it out together. Okay, so what we want to do, if you don't mind, is Minnie, can you come and sing one song? And we're going to sing this song, which is called I'm Giving You My Heart and All That Is Within. And there might be some people who are here today, and actually just straight away, you just want to get the burden of, it's quite clear there's someone and you just want to actually, in a sense, right now or in a few minutes, put someone in the chair and just, and have some, and it might be if you turn to your neighbor and said, hey, I really want to do this now. I really want to do it now. Why don't you use the prayer time now? We got some ministry, got 15 minutes or so. Parents, if you have to go out, can I just say, you've got the sheet, it's there. And we're working on this for, you know, next couple of months. But if you have to slip out, you have to slip out. But if you know there's an issue and you think, actually, I want to deal with this today. I want to just walk through this process. Can you sit with me and help me? In a sense, you've got the prayer. It's written there above the chair thing. And can I say the really key thing in that, you can really tell whether you've cancelled someone else's the debt is if you're able to bless them. Because blessing is walking in the opposite spirit to judging them. So if someone is going to, if you're going to help someone right now to pray through this through, make sure that they bless. And kind of a little tip here. If they bless them to become a nicer person, they haven't really released them. Yeah? Okay. So, we're just trusting that the Spirit of God is working here and we're all free. So, if you want to start praying straight away now, fine, turn to your neighbor, whatever. But we're going to have 15 minutes where we're going to engage in this beautiful, beautiful thing Jesus Christ has given us, which is to be free from unforgiveness. Let's go for it.